Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call. When we are working in round three, we're heading into transformation of anger, which is all about movement and momentum. And as we consider anger, one of the things that anger often gets a bad rap for in women is expression. And for men, it's actually the emotion that's most acceptable to be expressed, which creates a bit of a dichotomy. So often the feminine ends up instilling that and internalizing that and embracing that deeper into their system versus opening up to the expression of it, which is interesting because anger is actually meant to carry potency. Anger helps to create enough energy for something to shift, to change, to transform, to be different in some way, to become new, so you can continue to learn and grow and create in this world. Oh my goodness, you guys got snow already. Wow. Okay, that's wild to me. Happy October, y'all. I think that it's an interesting start to the fall season. It felt like fall was in the air for me this morning anyway, so I'm considering today to be the first official day of fall here. We had a strong chill in the air, but no snow. So maybe we have just enough cool weather to balance out some of the anger that's here. Huh? That's my play on words for today around that all, but I digress. For our session for today, I'm going to invite you to get comfy cozy, making yourself a little nest to lay down in, or if you're seated, see if there's any additional props that you'd like to keep yourself supported. And then I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of connecting to your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to be with it in the way that you can savor it. And on that note of savoring, I'm going to invite you to begin to scan either externally or internally, whatever catches your eye, or around things that are pleasant to neutral, or maybe one of your other senses that attune to it. And as you scan, letting your senses go for a metaphorical walk around your spaces, outside, inside. If you're inside, you're welcome to close your eyes if that's supportive to the process. And then noticing if you can let yourself really savor what you've landed on and appreciate all the qualities of it that you like the most. There may be things like the color or the shape or the size. It might be what it reminds you of. Or potentially it's the space between the layers of the object that you're with. Or the negative space that it creates. Or it may just be like light, shadow, general space around it. Whatever it is that catches your attention here, the invitation is to continue to savor all that feels good about this, mindfully orienting to pleasantness. As you do so, noticing the response in the body. And that thing that you're attending to actually may also support the body in some way, in a way that's pleasant to neutral. If that's the case, then beginning to savor that too. Beginning to savor all that feels good in terms of the response and the object itself. And as you continue to breathe that in, letting that rumble through you, I'll offer these words. And thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that are here. Thank you for bringing all that you have. And thank you to those that have supported you in this journey of arriving here, in this sweet moment of connection, your villages, your communities. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineage. The deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands and have nourished us all. We give thanks to the earth, the air, the fire, and the water. Om, Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings in your session today. To start off with, as we head into transformation of anger, we're actually, interestingly enough, working with the liver, the gallbladder, which is the center, which says just that, helps to process our anger. And there's actually like a stash of it that's like this little secret, little like precious, I'm going to hide that away, and I'm going to use that to activate, I'm going to playfully use Alison Armstrong's term, the rage monster. So whenever anything doesn't go our way, we can begin to like passively, aggressively stew and mull over all the worst parts of things and begin to like rearrange the story. It's like, oh yeah, don't forget about this detail and that like last year they did this and that time when that happened. Oh, and it's like all of these pieces begin to get formed and they draw together in a way that ultimately allows for the anger to be perpetuated, and it continues to build and build and build and perpetuate, 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 and it's like at the ready for like that next time they do wrong in some way, you can like remember all those details. So basically it's a storage center of everything that has gone wrong before, that you're upset about, that hasn't necessarily been resolved. The storage locker, so to speak. It may have some pieces of information present for you. So if you're open to it, I'm going to invite you to continue to be with that resource that you found earlier in case this is a lot to be with as well. So bring in your resource and also turning to that area on the bottom right-hand side of your ribcage where your liver and your gallbladder hang out. And just begin to notice what's here for you. For some of you, it may show up not so much as like strong anger or rage. It may actually show up as something like frozen, shut down, apathy. Some might call it resistance. And others of you might call it depression. Sadness begins to enter the scene when there's frozen anger because it isn't allowed to move. So things get held in and they're not openly expressed. So here, whatever you are alerted to or tuning into or picking up on, I'm going to invite you to do something that's a little counterintuitive potentially. And that is, I'm going to invite you actually just to welcome it to be here without the need to change it or fix it or direct it to be a certain way or even to get rid of it. only with the agenda of wanting to hear what it has to say. And as you turn towards it, if you're open to being with it in that way, we invite you to be as curious as you've ever been. As we offer it from an energetic sense through body talk, the consciousness of curiosity, we're also going to bring in the consciousness of wonder and the consciousness of awe. And as you continue to be with this part of you, it's not actually who you are, it's just a part of you. Underneath that all, know that this part actually came from an insecure attachment. Basically, I'm going to dive very briefly into attachment theory. There's sort of three main types: anxiety, meaning you're not sure how to be in relationship with another; avoidant, meaning you definitely know how to be in relationship to one another, and that's like not. It's like, no, thank you. That's too much. I'm going to avoid. And some people actually have both avoidant and anxiety, anxiousness. The label for that that's often used is disorganized. I don't really love that label. I actually call it insecure. It's an insecure attachment. And it might be a label that's also used in the psychology world. It is essentially creating this part to be rageful because it's continuously dealing with things that are uncertain because they haven't been resolved. But there's like an avoidance to actually resolve them, and there's anxiety about also resolving them. So underneath all of this, if we could simplify this, there's just simply feelings of insecurity and inadequacy that's perpetual. It's likely going to show up in almost every single relationship or interaction we have in this world, whether that be with a human or even a concept or a project or a work thing or a, you get the idea. It's prevalent. How we do one thing is how we do everything, it said. And through this all, there was a fair amount of like developmental disruptions that led to this. So the insecure attachment being a part of it. And in essence, it's thriving on being convinced that it's never actually supposed to be good enough. And it's in a chronic state of low self-esteem. And that low self-esteem is actually just something that it learned vicariously through the environment that it was raised in. Came in primarily through the maternal realm. And that might be mom, that could be any other female caregiver, it could be grandmom, aunt, you get the idea, any female relative or caregiver that was present in your life. And through that, there's a sense of, in your own development, in your own body, I am a burden. And this part of you is, well, ragefully trying to prove that it has an important role to play and that this burden is worth it to carry. So we're actually going to link it through to the 12th house, which is the house of the liver and the liver meridian. Actually bringing in the planetary energy of Neptune, which is meant to bring in spontaneity. And I'm going to add into that, we're actually bringing in the consciousness of infectious spontaneity. So being able to be spontaneous and support others in basically riffing off of that same consciousness of spontaneity in ways that they may begin to open up in their own system. Infectious spontaneity may also begin to spread internally to other parts of you to help them embrace spontaneity again. And with this, we're running a permissions, and the words here are, you're allowed to change. Primarily based on that, on the logic of, when this developed, you were in a compromised position. And now that actually isn't the case as much anymore. And feel free to look around the room that you're in right now. It likely doesn't carry those same dangers that you had back then. You can even tune into that resource one more time that we located earlier. And as we support the system in essentially orienting to the current time, we're bringing in the consciousness of just that presence, present time awareness. And we're linking that into all five senses and running nerve circulation through to all those five senses, really six, to include the intuition, to support the system in becoming aware of what it's actually doing here and what's no longer necessary to be done. Any old, outdated behaviors that are no longer serving get to be laid down. Another way of we could say that would be they get to be unburdened. Meaning that area of that liver gallbladder gets to naturally, organically, in its own timing, take in what's actually here. It gets to move at the pace of trust in a way that lets it unburden. And we invite you, if you haven't already, to take a hand there to that area on the right-hand side at the base of the ribcage and support the system in orienting to what's actually present and what's here now and what it no longer needs to do and what it might actually be open to be able to do. Because as we release the old, there's always room for the new. This becomes its own form of rebirth. That's linking into the area just at the top of the neck and the front body, just below the chin. This is an area where the heart meridian is meant to create almost like a horseshoe. And it's beginning to direct energy up into the head and the face. And here we're running the permissions for this area of the heart meridian, that it's safe to face forward and move forward. It's safe to face forward and move forward. And we're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And then for the right hip, running the permissions, I am enough. I am enough. I am enough to traverse these waters of change. I have what it takes to make it through this too. And if you look historically, you've made it through a lot of change. And any parts of you that have said otherwise may have actually been developed all the way back when you were first being born. We're actually looking at a split in the psyche that developed around that time frame. And it's carrying the message of it's hopeless. And it's feeling just kind of burnt out. It's developed nearing the end of your labor. It's like I did all of this and I'm still not where I want to be. There was like this desire, like maybe I should just give up. Why bother? This feels useless, powerless. That must mean that I am useless or powerless. So we invite you to imagine a little one being born, that little one being you, and connecting into your inner infant in a way that you can actively, tangibly call in into your imagination using all five, six senses, this little one. And in the same way that you might reparent or parent your children, or the ways that you did parent your children, for those of you who have had children, for those of you who haven't, feel free to imagine what that might have been like. Or if you have any experience with animals, you can bring that in here too. I haven't had children, so I've had to imagine a lot of this. And we can imagine that little one just simply needs a loving presence that guides it, that holds it, and that's basically letting it know, like, hey, I'm here with you, and we're here to do this together. You're supported here. You're supported here. And we're just letting that infant brain know, like, hey, I got you. I'm here with you. And we invite you to imagine now that this little one is being born in that birth canal, and somehow you can magically place a hand, it's a magic hand so it can fit, into the birth canal. And you can offer a loving touch to the entire back body and to the entire front body with another hand. And then continuing to offer containment. In essence, offering what it is to be held, to be touched, and to be supported. Not necessarily to be pulled or pushed in any way, just offering loving presence and touch in a way that lets that little baby shrink that in. And as you do that, I actually see this chest plate across the heart, which is the liver meridian sort of blockade, to begin to melt away. And it's releasing a little piece that's been kind of frozen in this mode that's created this constant ripple of, I can't make it through this. That's too much. I won't be able to do that too. In essence, a long-winded version of the inadequacy that we highlighted earlier begins to melt away, layer by layer by layer. And the thing about activity and feeling hopeless and not being able to actively complete something is it tends to show up in how we relate in specific to men, to male energy, to the masculine. It's all about action, momentum. And the liver, oh, the liver is yin. I mean, it has some yang, everything does. Everything has that balance of both. But overall, more yin. And if it doesn't feel the support that it needs from the masculine, it doesn't necessarily do its best work. And right now, it's not actually able to take that in from the gallbladder, which is its masculine or its yang counterpoint. And that in turn means the yang energy is feeling useless and it's creating this downward spiral, so to speak. And I'm not entirely clear on all this yet, but we're going to link that through to the base chakra. The why on that is the part that I'm not sure about yet. It is supporting grounding energy, survival energy. And we are running the permissions here of you can make it. You don't have to, but you get to. Ah. And as soon as the you don't have to releases, this idea of you have to push through no matter what begins to melt away. And the capacity to just simply move through in ways that are organic, natural, in alignment with your authentic nature, begin to emerge. And that's going to be different for each one of you. So I can't tell you what that looks like, but you get to explore and find out what that is for you. And I'm even going to imagine, this might be why, imagine that you can move forward in relationship That might be with a lover or a loved one that's a romantic. It might be with another individual, family, work colleague, anyone in between. On this day of solar eclipse, we have a new moon in Libra, and Libra is all about relationships. We had the lunar eclipse a couple of weeks ago, which opened up the portal for all basically like the gunk to arise, all of your shadow, in essence, around what was happening for you. And that in turn led to the solar eclipse, which happens today, which begins to shed new light on all that was faced over the past couple of weeks. And eclipse season takes a while to play out. So it's happening now, begins to ripple through for the next several months. As we support the system in becoming aware of that all, it's reorienting to healthy relationships and defragging all those old habitual patterns that are outdated, no longer serving, no longer helpful, and creating some sense of stuckness or inadequacy, low self-esteem alike. As we take advantage of our eclipse season in a good way, running lymphatic drainage, clearing out any toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. We're doing that for the pancreatic reflex point, aka spleen 21 acupuncture point. It hangs out roughly where an underwire bra would end on the left-hand side. There's just a sense here of like, no, I don't want to. So to support this, we're actually letting it know, like, hey, you actually don't have to. And when the no gets honored, it actually sets the stage for the yes to also be honored. And there's a sense of, never actually being able to say no in a way that was socially acceptable, in a way that was honored as a child by your parents, by your caregivers. That in turn was impacting the spleen meridian, which was diminishing the nourishment up to that spleen 21 acupuncture point and not allowing for it to be as resilient. So, as we release the pattern here, restoring the qi, natural consciousness of qi, through that spleen meridian, which in turn supports the pancreas reflex point and being able to do the job that it best does. Integration, taking the sweetness of life, feeling the embrace of the universe. And that in turn links up to heart one acupuncture point, which hangs in the center of the armpits. And here, supporting the system in literally opening up the heart through the lens of the sweetness of the embrace of the universe. And allowing for restfulness to be restored in a manner that promotes peace. Or in Sanskrit, the Shanti energy. Okay, and with that, going back to that liver meridian. Needing to balance it to the pericardium, which is the external lining of the heart that's meant to protect the heart and also connect us to sensuality. So I think of that as creating almost like a little bit of a filter, taking out any riffraff that doesn't need to be there, and supporting the system actually restoring, beautifully. So, restoring sensual energy, sensual essence, sensual capacity. Okay, and that in turn is linking into the low back. There's actually a fear here of being punished, and it's creating a tuck in the pelvis. The right shoulder is hanging on to a desire to punish. The low back, a fear of punishment. On the left side, left shoulder, protection from punishments. Okay, we're bringing in the color of violet, the color of the crown chakra for its role in transcendence. It's literally created this like triangle of energy. The desire, the need to protect or resist, and then the fear of punishment, all being present. And we invite you to imagine that that triangle literally gets to be lifted from the system, releasing all three. They have to actually unhook at the same time. The right side comes off of the AC joint at the outer edge of the shoulder primarily. The left shoulder, it's hooked more into not so much the joint, but the capsule of the shoulder itself, to be a bit anatomical geeky. That low back, it's literally into L2, L3, and that Ming Men, the pilot light of our body, which is meant to give us our vitality, which might have felt semi-depleted or absent in some way, shape, or form. And we're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. Beautiful. So I see that whole triangular energy begin to lift upward. And instead of releasing it to the earth, as we often do, it's actually just floating up into the sky. Almost like a kite that gets to blow away, because there's no longer any strings attaching it. As the kite wafts away, it begins to open up the heart center and the solar plexus center. And here we're working with both of those chakras, heart and solar plexus, working with restoration of confidence in ways that promote harmony. Okay. At the same time as that, there's a little bit of energy in the ears that are creating a bit of fear, as well as anger. And the two, fear and anger, begin to actually create a third thing, that of rage. Okay, and then the amygdala complex comes into play. This is a part of our limbic brain, our emotional brain. In essence, it's just simply holding on to old static. There's actually a fear here of getting into trouble, a fear of taking the heat. That's an older expression, but like a fear of receiving like the heat means also like the fear of like receiving like the static. And within the static, releasing a fear of being dull or uninteresting in some way, shape, or form. Almost as if the desire to punish has led to this fear of taking the heat. That's led to a fear of actually creating punishment or receiving punishments. So this is sort of like the intermediary that's been in the middle of all of this. So essentially, we're going to run circulation of all the healing resources as well as a defrag for this pattern, including blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with cheer, vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down to all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, anxiety, depression, help the body mind to heal. Okay. excuse me, dry throat. And here we're also working with the balance of yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and yang, the masculine essence of protection, and also hydration, helping the cells to bring in water, joy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter, what remains, no longer needs to be here. Pardon me, and what no longer needs to be here gets to be released, and what remains gets to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. It's going to run for the next 7 days, so right up until our next session. Okay. That, in turn, is linking into the throat. In particular, the throat chakra. And it's creating like a sense of insecurity and expression. And that we actually need to link into the base chakra as well to support grounding energy, give a sense of firmness and stability. So we're connecting all things throat chakra. So all things base chakra to allow for that energy, that energy to be deeply connected, grounded, and held by the earth. I'm not a huge crystal person, but bringing in sodalite. And sodalite helps with some minimal knowledge that I have. Expression. Some of you probably know more about it than I do. It allows for that creativity to be expressed through you. As I say that, the sexual chakra begins to light up, as does the solar plexus chakra. Then as does the brow chakra and the crown. I'm going to link every single one of these, all six of them, to the heart to support harmonization in a way that supports your system and literally landing in your heart. Now, I'm going to take a lot of liberties, and I'm going to even step into some things about religion in just a sec, so bear with me. And the heart is associated with the planetary energy of the sun, S-U-N, that brings in the fullest expression of our life force potential possible. And for those of you who are open to this worldview, and you definitely don't need to be, the heart is thought to carry the most brilliant sunlight, the most brilliant light, the light that creates no shadow, that casts no shadow. And this energy is that of the sun in religious terminology, if I was to extrapolate metaphorically to that, would be Jesus Christ or the Son of God. or the human essence within the divine. And I think that it is a human being. We are connected to both polarities, both dualities. As we support this, it's actually opening up the releasing of any particular koshas between, in particular, the mental body and the soul body, or any overthinking or every ideas, put another way, around wanting to mentally logic and escape the feelings that are here in ways that actually diminish the true essence and the authentic nature of your heart and shining bright and radiating its light and in creating illumination deeply in ways that can't allow for any further shadow to exist. And for those of you who aren't necessarily into that, know that we're working metaphorically with those concepts. It's just an archetypal energy that we're tapping into. We're tapping this part out here. Invitation to breathe. To receive. Breathing here. And then we're unhooking the belief system of I can't quite make it. I can't quite make it. I better retreat. And not take away from the fact that retreat is necessary and helpful and healthy. But what would it be like to know that you actually don't have to hide away anymore? And those old feelings of inadequacy, they actually get to be welcomed here. So I imagine they're playing a really important role, and I wonder what value they're offering you. And I wonder how curious you can be about that, and what it might be like to explore that now. I invite you to offer it a few breaths, or run a cellular repair on all of that, restoring those cells back to their fullest potential of health. And again, running the permissions, it's safe to be here, as in it's safe to be present. It's safe to be here, wherever here is. And we're linking the pineal gland that works with our circadian rhythm, which supports rest. And we're running the permissions here. You can rest easy now. You can rest easy now. You can rest easy now. We're linking it into your breath. And interestingly enough, the vibration of your soul. I got a dog sign on that one. That's interesting. I don't typically work with that essence a whole lot, but it's here now. And not that I'm not really familiar with the soul or the ideologies around it. I think part of me is played a little bit small in the territory of the soul from other teachings that I've received that have said, there's nothing you can do about the soul. And, well, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know that. I'm curious to push that edge for myself, to challenge an exploration there. So I might be projecting all over you, erroneously so. Or we might be onto something that's actually just the right medicine for you today. So that vibration of the soul, it carries a particular signature. And if we could hear it, we would actually begin to recognize that whatever's happening in our lives are actually not all that personal. It's actually just the journey that the soul is making. I've said for decades now, can't believe I can say that, in Body Talk, that the tagline probably should just read something along the lines of, hey, it just wasn't that personal. So as we resolve these issues, we actually begin to notice that it actually really wasn't about us. It was just something that came about to evolve our consciousness. We're linking all of this to the midline structures that connect the brain. In part, that includes the corpus callosum, fancy name, interthalamic adhesions. There's a few other septal regions, center of bliss. The corpus callosum, however, is probably the biggest center, and it effectively allows for communication to happen even keeledly between the two sides of the brain. And then we're linking that through to the crown, and in this order, to the brow, then to the throat, and then to the heart chakras. Opening up that chain. Often people are obsessed with like rising, and that actually doesn't necessarily happen until everything lands in the heart and get the heart is perfectly centered. I've certainly talked about rising. And sometimes the energy actually needs to go from the crown to the heart to support centering within it, which in turn actually effectively allows for that rise to then go right back up to the crown, allowing us to be lifted up and to begin to soar. And again, I'm going to come back to this. Can you tolerate the vibration of your own soul and its message? And what is it to simply surrender into the soul's guidance? Which might show up as that like intuition or that sense of, I think I should do this, I don't know why. Most often it shows up with, well, that's really scary, I'm not sure about that, huh? The situations that we get kicked into, or we end up feeling like, what the fuck is happening? Or we get dragged into it, a little like screaming, kicking, flailing, temper tantrum-ish. Those are usually good signs that the soul is afoot, attempting to create something new and different after your human energy got very settled. And for this, we're looking very specifically at that kosha between, again, the mental body and the soul body. We're running a cellular repair here, restoring the interface between those two back to its fullest potential of health. I'm not going to say that you're going to like everything that happens from the soul. We're just supporting your resiliency to respond to it and your capacity to be with it so you can optimally learn, grow, and transform in this life. And this in turn begins to set the stage for, fancy lingo, coherence on a frequency level, coherence on a vibrational level, coherence in a way that begins to ripple through not just that interface between soul and mental body, but all the way through to emotional body, to physical body, to the earth that supports us all. And if we can imagine the physical body becomes coherent with the frequency of the earth, we're going to link the emotional body to be coherent with the frequency of the moon, the mental body to be coherent with the frequency of Mercury, communication, planetary communication, the soul body, becoming frequent, or attuned to, I should say, in line with the frequency of, this one's a bit different, the energy of Pisces. Which, if you're curious, has two planets associated with it. Let me just make sure I get this one right. Saturn and Neptune. So let's take a peek at my sheets there. So Saturn is that, well, sometimes it gets a bit of a bad rap as being like a very harsh taskmaster. And it's also meant to provide kind of stern energy, it's true, but in a way that it allows for a deeply held, contained energy to support you in being realistic about what's possible. And then to balance that out in case it gets too much, we have the inspiration, the spontaneity, the expansion of Jupiter. And as that gets balanced, it sets the stage for our sensitive, intuitive imagination, which is thought to be the body of the soul, to be balanced. And then we're linking the kosha that surrounds your spirit to the planetary energy of the sun, the element of fire, to bring it alive to its fullest potential possible, because that's what spirit might most adequately represent. Let me just say that's my sense of it. So if you're open to my projections around that all, feel free to receive it. We're going to take all of this and we're linking it to two things simultaneously, the earth and the heavens. And that in turn is linking into another two things simultaneously again, the bones and the blood. We might imagine that the earth correlates to the bones, not precisely, and that the heavens correlate as well here. Forgive me, I got a bit distracted. We need to do just a little bit of work at the sphenoid before we can do that. We're going to work with the alignment. It's actually just a little bit collapsed in the very center of the sphenoid, which isn't allowing it to move or rock with a breath, which isn't allowing for energy flow to happen evenly throughout the entire system. And it's creating confusion and disorientation, a sense of like, well, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't even know if I should be present to any of this. It's too much. Sort of balance that out. Okay, beautiful. That happened pretty quick. And it's linking now into age two, when you threw a temper tantrum and it threw that sphenoid way out. Through like literally throwing your head around and screaming and being in agony, as temper tantrums are wont to do. That is turn has created excess agitation through the shen or through the level of spirit. There's just the sense that I can never quite get there, I can never quite fully align. So we're actually gonna run SB technique to support the alignment of the sphenoid bone and in turn support the realignment of the Shen and your entire system. Okay, then everything else that we're working with before begins to also just fall into place, into alignments, in a way that actually restores flow without the idea, the concept, or the belief system. I am stuck present in some way, shape, or form, or misaligned, which creates that stuckness. It in turn supports now the capacity to flow, to be fluid in nature, and to open up possibilities where, excuse me, there was some previous stuckness in those locations. But again, back to the base chakra, it's safe to ground. It's safe to ground. It is safe to ground. In other words, it's safe to be present here. It's safe to be present here. Okay, we're going to top this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And we're taking everything that we've done today. We're linking it through, excuse me, to the heart. Interesting permission. It's safe to recover and be restored in a way that lets you be even more present. It's safe to recover and be restored. It's almost as if there was a sense of I always have to be agitated or off or sick or off base in some way because it wasn't actually quite safe to be present to what actually is. And all of that came from agitation primarily in birth and childhood. So we support the system in landing in some really new territory. We're going to link that through to the navel, consciousness of connection and centeredness. We're going to release both iliopsoas muscles. And I finally see that low back release in a way that lets you connect even deeper through to the hip chakras, the knee, their minor chakras, the knee chakras, and then all the way down to the ankle and the feet. Creating like a sturdy, stable foundation, which then in turn links up to the upper body, allowing for its expression to begin to elevate, to lift, to rise, to soar. And we're going to tap here, invitation to breathe and to receive. Giving that a few breaths. And letting yourself rest here. I can't recall, I'm having a slight menopause moment if I played the song or not, but either way, it's probably worth a re-listen. And we're going to play a song called Where the Heart Is by Heaven, from the album Eyes Closed. So we invite you to listen to it if you're open to it in that way, closing your eyes and bringing in that resource that you found earlier. Offering yourself a few breaths, the song is just shy of 4 minutes. As you rest in all that's transpired today. Enjoy. And rest well, my friends. Rest well. Anything that no longer serves gets to rest in peace now.
Highway to things you wanna be with you. Here's then and sweeps you off your feet. Shaking up your troubled soul, the silence seems to grow. It's the fade inside, without that faith, the world is always below. You're high away, things you want to be. But the air is thin and sweeps you off your feet. You are falling to the stars. You are falling. You are falling to the stars. You are falling. And you are falling to the stars. You are falling.
Thank you for the opportunity to gather here with you all. And thank you for being here just as you are. Beautiful session and beautiful work today, y'all. Have yourselves a blessed week and mwah, mwah, mwah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Happy to hang out for a little bit afterwards, and thank you all for being here. Always a joy to get to work together in these ways. And you're most welcome. Oh, the song and the artist, I can pop on into the chat feature here for you. It was Where the Heart Is by Heaven, H-A-E-V-N. But I'll put it on in here. There you go. Yeah, you're most welcome, y'all. Oh, I love all the sunflowers, Sherry. Thank you. Welcoming that sun energy. Hey, mwah, mwah, mwah. I can't stop blowing kisses today. All right, y'all. I'm happy to stick around if anyone needs any additional support. And yeah, you're most welcome again. And yeah, pleasure being here with y'all today. Bye for now. Oh, thank you, Saul. You too.
Oh, sorry.
All good. Hey, Fiona.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. yeah, there's a today was awesome in the fact that we addressed a lot of the change kind of stuff. Yeah. Quick question.
Well, hang on. I gotta.